Give it Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 64, The Deliverance of King Riga, Text Number 13. Hechukvatam parikramya. Dos prisvasvam holina, anugyato vimanagriam, aruhat paschitam rinam, ityuktvatam parikramya. Dos prisvasvam holina. Anugyato vimanagriyam, aruhat pasyatam rinam, ichyuktvatam parikramya, padosvisvasvam holina, anugyato vimanagriyam, aruhat pasyatam rinam.
Iti upadam parikramaya. Iti upadam parikramaya. Pados prasvaso maulina.
Pados prasvaso maulina.
Anugyato vimanagriyam.
Anugyato vimanagriyam.
Aruhat pasyatam rinam.
Aruhat pasyatam rinam.
Yuktvatam parikramya,
yuktvatam parikramya,
adaus prishtva svamaulina,
adaus prishtva svamaulina,
anugyato vimanagriyam,
anugyato vimanagriyam,
aruhat pasyatam rinam,
aruhat pasyatam rinam.
Uktva, having spoken, tam, him, parikramya, circumambulating. Pado, his feet. Sprisva, touching. Sva, with his. Morina, crown. Anugyata, given leave. Vimana, a celestial airplane. Agriyam, excellent. Aruhat, he boarded. Paschatam, as they watched. Nunam, humans. Translation. Having spoken thus, Maharaj Nriga circumambulated Lord Krishna and touched his crown to the Lord's feet. Granted permission to depart, King Riga then boarded a wonderful celestial airplane as all the people present looked on. I'll read the next verse too. Krishna parijanam praha bhagavan devaki suttaha pramanya deva dharmatma rajanyam anushikshayam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, who is especially devoted to the Brahmanas and who embodies the essence of religion, then spoke to his personal associates and thus instructed the royal class in general. Durujaram bata brahmasvam buktva agnir managapi tejiyaso pikimutta ragyamishvara bhaninam. Lord Krishna said, how indigestible is the property of a brahmana, even when enjoyed just slightly and by one more potent than fire. What then to speak of kings who try to enjoy it, presuming themselves lords? Purport. Even those made powerful by austerity, mystic yoga, and so on, cannot enjoy property stolen from a brahmana. And what to speak of others? So, here, King Griga is being instructed by Krishna about the dangers of stealing from a brahmana. So, there are many laws that govern this material world, the laws of action and reaction, karma, and they're very stringent. And the Lord, who is, as describes here, the who embodies, the Lord who embodies the essence of religion, Dharma, Deva Dharma. So, the Lord meters out reactions and rewards to all living entities within this world. As it's described in the Bhagavad Gita, though, that the Lord is impartial. He's actually equal to all. He doesn't favour anyone, and he has no enemies. So, so this is, it appears to be contradictory, because here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that I favour no one, and yet here we're reading, and we see, with Krishna's own words as well, that he is especially devoted to the brahmanas. So, the brahmanas themselves are the emblem of religious principles. They free themselves, they live a simple life, and they free themselves from all vices. They control the mind and the senses, and they understand the laws of the material energy, and they do not do anything which you know, which is against Shastra, which is against religious principles. So by Krishna maintaining the brahmanas, he is maintaining those persons who embody religious principles, and therefore Krishna is equal to all in giving out rewards to those who follow religious principles and punishing those who go against religious principles, as demonstrated by Brahminical culture. And Srila Prabhupada gives some very interesting examples. It's much like if you go into a grocery store, and you know, sometimes you know, there may be some very nice fruits, some mangoes. So if you have you know, less funds, then the grocer may sell you the cheaper, slightly bruised, smaller mangoes. Maybe a little overripe. But if you have better funds, then the grocer will give you, you know, he can supply you the really good, you know, primo mangoes in first class condition. So, you know, the grocer himself is impartial. It's not, you know, one may think, oh, you know, I went into the store, and look what I've come out with. You know, I've come out with these mangoes, but, you know, the other person went in and came out with those wonderful mangoes like this. You know, the grocer's got it against me. So, but we can see clearly it's not the grocer. The grocer's impartial. He's neutral. But according to our purchasing power, so similarly, according to our karmic rewards, or karmic debts, you know, we have certain purchasing power to enjoy or suffer in this world. And another example, very nice example, which Srila Prabhupada gives, is that a judge on a high court, any court really. But a judge, he metes out punishment and sometimes rewards. But again, it is foolish for one to come out of the court thinking, well, he just didn't like me. According to what we have done, if we have killed someone and the judge orders us that we shall get capital punishment, then that is not the partiality of the judge. He is just metering out the law as it is set by the government. So Krishna also, he is like that. He is seated neutrally, he favours the Brahmanas in the same way that the government favours the judicial members and the police department, because they are maintaining religious principles, and the government opposes those who are against the judicial system like that. So actually, in this way, Krishna sits neutrally. But another example Srila Prabhupada gives, it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada will if you hear different lectures, or you see in Srila Prabhupada's books, he'll discuss a certain point, and sometimes you go to read a certain point or you hear it and you think, oh, I know that. And you think, Srila Prabhupada's going to say this. And he just gives so many different... He always, surprises you by explaining the same example from so many different angles, and very, very nice realizations. So he also gives an example that, for instance, if a mother has five children and one of them is ill with a fever, so then she calls them for, their evening meal. So they all come to sit down, but she will say to the one with the fever, no, you can't sit there. There's none for you. You won't be supplied a meal tonight. You can have this little something. Because the mother knows that because that child's disease condition, that to go without is the proper thing for that child, for its illness, for its disease. And similarly, sometimes we see that people have to go without happiness. We see King Riga, of course, he went without a lot of happiness, not a lot of happiness living in the bottom of a well in the form of a lizard. So, that is not the partiality of God. That is because of his own disease, his own karmic debts, that he ended up in that situation. So many people these days, they blame the Supreme Lord, but he is actually sits neutrally. And yet, in that same sloka, Krishna says, he uses the word to, which means but. He says, I'm seated as though neutral, no one is my enemy, no one is my friend, but. Which means that there are exceptional circumstances where Krishna is saying, actually, in some circumstances, and he points out that my devotee, I am actually partial to my devotee. I favour my devotee. As they are always thinking of me, then I am always thinking of them. Srila Baladeva Vidyavasan points out that just as we become the devotee of Krishna, actually Krishna becomes the devotee of his devotee. And just as the devotee takes great pleasure in serving Krishna, then Krishna takes great pleasure in serving his devotee. So, there is a relationship of love between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. Love only actually exists between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. In the material world, there is no love. We would like to think so, but unfortunately, it's not there. There is something resembling love, but actually love is really reserved for Krishna and his devotees. In the material world, what goes in the name of love, of course, is lust, where you know, we are thinking for our own personal enjoyment. But love is where the lover only has thought to serve and to please and to give happiness to the beloved 24 hours a day. And the nature of pure love is that even if there is the reciprocation is not coming, in other words, that person is when there's real love, the person wants to give pleasure to the other person to make them happy in all regards without even the slightest desire for anything in return. And therefore, no matter what happens, it doesn't break that love. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that mood, he prayed, Asrishava Paradatam Vanastamam Vanasamam Tam Kravatavayata Tata Velatulamato. I know him, but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. So that's the nature of love. And when a devotee develops that loving mood towards Krishna, then Krishna is always thinking. As Srila Prabhupada points out, everything you do in the mood of service to Krishna, Krishna accepts that that is an act of love. Even from the very beginning. And Krishna notes it down in his book, Srila Prabhupada says. He does. So, and he never forgets. Krishna is very, very grateful. He notes everything down. Every little flower garden, every dance step, every mantra, every mouthful of prasadam, every waving of the fan, like that. So, we should never, we should always remember that, Krishna will always be thinking of us as we're thinking of him. We should be, fixed in that understanding that Krishna is thinking of his devotees. But now one may say, then in that same chapter, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes on to explain, because one may say, oh, but certainly Krishna will not be thinking of that devotee over there, because I see that devotee over there has so many faults, or there's that I see so. But Krishna says, no, even if a devotee commits the most abominable actions, if they have that one qualification that they're, fixed in Krishna, Krishna's service, then Krishna says, no, they are sadhu. They may not manifest all the full 26 qualities of a devotee. As we know, when we, Vedic culture, for everything we do, there is a right way to do it, and then there's the other way. And especially for Western devotees, who have no idea about Vedic culture, it's a little easier sometimes for those coming from Indian background. If they're coming from India, sometimes the Indian people in the West have less access to Vedic culture than we do, but if they've lived in India or like that, they tend to know a lot more about Vedic culture. But especially other parts of the world where people are born into a place where they've made a culture out of not having a culture, one may criticize, there is this wrong, or You know, sometimes it is seen that devotees, they may have, some bad habits from birth. And even when they become devotees, sometimes those bad habits sort of, linger a little bit. So Krishna is saying that they are so dear to me that they are still considered sadhu. And Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting comment, that someone may say, someone may object, Krishna says they are sadhu, but not full sadhu. And Srila Prabhupada says, no, full sadhu. So, in all regards, Krishna's devotees, if they have that quality that they're fixed in devotional service, that is very, very powerful. And they are considered sadhu. Why? And Krishna explains that again in the next verse, because he says that very quickly they will become righteous. See? Because they're actually situated in devotional service, then chipram, very quickly they will actually become righteous and purified of those anomalies, from material contamination and, the culture that they may have been born into. So therefore, when we see devotees, the Srila Rupa Goswami, he explains that if one somehow or another can, attach themselves to Krishna, attach their mind to Krishna, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, associate with devotees like that, all the rules and regulations, they will automatically follow within time. And Krishna is saying, very quickly. So, as devotees, we look at other devotees with that mood that, we look how they are advancing in Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't be looking with a critical eye that, I see this and I see that. But we should always be looking for that one very important point, is how is this devotee advancing in Krishna consciousness, and we should always encourage that particular point. All the other things will come, by themselves, automatically, because the process is so nice and the process is so powerful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a process where we are so fortunate that you don't need any previous qualification. To chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to dance, to take prasadam, you don't need a lot of qualification, sit down, eat some prasadam, dance around the temple, chant and sing. Not a lot of, qualification needed. But by engaging in those activities, it is so nice that automatically, one loses a taste for enjoying the material world. Just like when we take prasadam, you introduce people, so we can, if we see someone and they eat all sorts of nonsense, we can preach at them and criticize them and, what have you like that, and point the finger. Or you can just introduce them to prasadam, and just by eating that prasadam, you'll see that automatically, without, having to really chastise them, that they'll just lose their taste for all other things. They'll just want prasadam, prasadam. You ever dream about prasadam? Actually, Prabhupada once, he's given a lecture and he began laughing. He says, I dream about halva. I dream I'm eating halva, I do that sometimes. When I joined, that's on a personal note here, don't tell anyone. But I joined as a teenager, so in the 70s, so well, about 1920, but there were a lot of drugs around then, not like now. And I used to take, most things. And I tried for many, many years to, give up all the various things. I was smoking cigarettes. The day I joined, I was smoking cigarettes. Probably had a can of beer. And I tried for years and I could not give up, And I was actually quite a determined person. I did judo, karate, and my father used to train me in the morning from when I was about 5 till I was about 13. Every morning, every evening. So I was a very regulated, you know, very fit and what have you. Had a lot of self-control, but could not give up intoxication. When I was about 8 and 9, but I was a Victorian champion for judo, so I was right into it. But anyway, the day I became a devotee and started eating prasadam, that day I just gave up everything. Everything. And I never had any withdrawals, not from cigarettes, alcohol, or any of the other range of things I had. I ate prasadam, and that was it. That was it. So, you know, I mean, it is very powerful, and I can personally testify, you know, to the strength of prasadam. So, that's what Krishna is saying, you know, if you take to Krishna consciousness, it is very, very, very powerful, and quickly, you know, those bad habits, they will automatically fall away, and one will, you know, lose the taste for material enjoyment. So, you know, one doesn't have to be. If I had to wait until I was qualified, it wouldn't happen in this life, you know. But what Krishna does is he says, you take the position of as a devotee, you're not qualified to do that, and then I'll make you qualified. And again, Srila Prabhupada gives the example that, you know, if someone wants to become a high court judge, and generally, you know, they have to pass all the exams, they have to get through VCE and university, and then they have to become a good lawyer, and then they have to be recommended, you know, and then, you know, after many, many years they can become, have a lot of qualifications. Srila Prabhupada points out that Krishna's method is that he puts you on the bench, and then all education comes while you're doing the job. And you know, you see that with the way Srila Prabhupada began the movement, even with many of the things that we do now. You know, the Krishna gives us a service, and you know, we never feel qualified, or we shouldn't. Many of you are qualified, but I certainly am not. And somehow or another, Krishna, you know, arranges that the education and, you know, the qualifications and what have you gradually come. So that is, you know, Krishna's way of this process is very powerful, and somehow or another we should engage ourselves in devotional service and engage others, and by that very quickly we will come to the standard, and those you know, faults and, you know, bad habits, they fall away. Certainly, you know, as a devotee makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, you don't expect to see them having bad qualities and you know, bad habits. But, you know, if sometimes, you know, there is some blemishes, then just as when we see the moon, you know, we see some blemishes, especially in the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, it is an ocean of faults. There's just fault everywhere. So just as when we look at the moon, we see the different pock marks on the moon, but it does not inhibit the effulgence of the moon. But when we bathe in the Ganges, you know, there's sometimes a little foam, you have to sort of brush it aside, you know, dip in like that, knowing that you'll be purified of so many sinful reactions. So here, although King Riga, he is... we see here that Krishna is pointing out how dangerous it is to break religious principles, and some religious principles give a greater punishment than others. You know, so for instance, if we, you know, if we're walking down the street and a bit of dust comes off our boot and bowls over an ant, gives them a headache for the day, you know, we may not suffer as much as here. Krishna, in order to protect religious principles, You know, we have to be very, very careful how we deal with the brahmana. And the next few verses, I won't read them all, but we have to be very, very careful. It gives a greater reaction. But higher than the brahmana is the Vaishnava. And so we should be even more careful, you know, how we deal with the Vaishnavas. Because, you know, in dealing with the brahmanas, because Krishna is maintaining religious principles and he favours the brahminical culture, therefore there is a great reaction. But with the devotees, he is particularly partial to them. He is always thinking of them with great love. So to, you know, the Vaishnava, so to, you know, disturb the Vaishnava, to try and take their property, to envy them, to criticise them, these things are certainly very, very dangerous. So, if we take shelter of devotional service, take shelter of Krishna, then we don't end up in the situation like King Riga. King Riga took shelter, not of Krishna. He was giving to the brahmanas, and you know, so happened that one of the cows which he had given to one brahmana strayed into the camp of the other brahmana. Is that right? Oh, no, it strayed back. He gave it again. Oh, yeah. So anyway, there was a quarrel over this particular cow. So he offended two brahmanas accidentally, and still so much suffering was there. But if we take, so again, we can see from that that there's really the shelter in the material energy, even by performing pious activities such as giving to the brahmanas and what have you, there's no real shelter. We can still, you know, be thrown into the most miserable condition, even if we try to just be the perfect religious person. But without taking shelter of Krishna, without taking shelter of devotional service, if we try to be, you know, perfect religious, you know, never break any laws like that, still, especially in Kali Yuga, you know, it is a very unstable and very unsafe circumstances. Srila Prabhupada says it's like, just at the moment we have, you know, the AFL, so it's a grand final. And they're all, you know, kicking the football here and they're kicking the football. So Srila Prabhupada says that our position is like that football. You know, we're just being kicked by the material energy. There's no, you know, if you look at a football, you know, it goes there and they kick it out there and they kick it there. There's no shelter for that poor football. So that is our position. Our position is just like that. Try as we may, there is no shelter in the material world. We get, you know, sometimes there's a demigod, sometimes, you know, there's a lizard in the well, like that. Just, you know, we're in an ocean of material suffering. Sometimes the waves are throwing us this way and sometimes that way. Sometimes we're going up and sometimes we're going down. And we really have very little control over it. And, you know, sometimes we get completely smashed and dumped. And, you know, sometimes people feel that they can enjoy, you know, the material ocean. They might try and surf some of the waves. I'll give you another personal example here. When I was in Wellington, Wellington, PJ, there was some devotees there, very nice devotees. They used to surf a lot, and so we were Sankirtan devotees. But because we travelled all over, sometimes there were a couple of waves, so you know they would encourage me to get in there amongst it. So one day after Mongolati, believe it or not, this devotee comes up to me and says, come here, jump in the car. Right? So they take me down to Houghton Bay. I don't know if you know Houghton Bay. So, you know, it's between Wellington, you know, the North and the South Island. What's that? Is that the Bass Strait?
Yeah, it's
Cook Strait. Yeah, these massive big swells, right? So it was night time, you know. So you've got to go up the rocks. There's like a rocky pier, and you go right out, and then you come in behind the waves, like that. You don't see what you're getting into until you're out there. So anyway, I had a boogie board, I had a surfboard, so I got right out there. And all of a sudden, this just big monster just rears up behind me, this wave, right? And I get right up on the peak of it, and I'm looking down, and it's a big drop, right? I'm just right on the lip, and I'm looking down, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to enjoy this. And I knew, cause these waves, seriously, they were as thick as this room. Right? A swell, and you just ride up on top, and you're looking down, and you know that it's just going to smash you to pieces, you know. And I said, I'm not going down there, and I backpedal. You know. I tell you, my arms, that's why I'm so good at Mindanga, probably. I backpedaled, and I just managed not to go over there, and I managed to stay on the top, and this wave just churned over and just killed everything in its path, and I just swam it, you know, like paddled out into the ocean. And here I am, I'm just shaking, I'm absolutely terrified, thinking, how do I get in? Because to get in, I've got to ride something like that in, you know. You know, like I just used to play on the shore, you know, like just with a few little, here they'd take me out to this. Anyway, I managed to get up the courage, and I ended up catching one in. But the other devotee who took me out there, he just about broke his arm getting in. It smashed him into the ground. He's like, you know, like that. Yeah, gee, that was fun, Ganga. Yeah. So, you know, the material energy is like that. But basically, when you think of it, you know, the material world, it's not really a place of enjoyment. You know, you're in a dangerous situation. You're in the middle of an ocean, and you're just getting smashed by these waves, this way, you know, that way, this way, that way. And, you know, by Krishna consciousness, Krishna lifts you up out of the ocean and puts you on the boat of transcendental knowledge, you know, going back to Godhead. And so that's liberated from the very first day, from the very first beginning. Officially you're liberated as soon as you take to Krishna consciousness. Officially liberated, Srila Prabhupada says. Fully liberated is when you're fully following, you know, strictly following. But officially, at least you're on the boat. You're not in that water getting smashed about. You may be laying on the boat, you know, completely unconscious, you know, oblivious, you know, like that. You see devotees down at the ashram there after, you know, a big plate of halwa. Oh, you know. They're on the boat, but they have no idea what's going on, you know. But they're liberated because they're no longer in the water. So, you know, that is the Krishna consciousness movement. That Krishna, you know, as soon as we take to chanting and prasadam, that Krishna lifts us out of that ocean, puts us on the boat, and we're safe from the ocean. Which is, you know, King Riga, he was very fortunate because one of the persons he actually gave charity to happened to be a devotee who was, you know, he was praying that he could worship Govinda and, you know, like that. And King Riga offered, you know, fulfilled his desires. You know, he wanted Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So some of the charity that King Riga gave was to that Vaishnava. And because of that, specifically the charity he gave to the Vaishnava, he actually got Krishna's blessings. Yes. So, you know, Krishna became very partial. So if we can serve the Vaishnavas, then Krishna will very, very quickly, you know, pick us up out of the ocean of material existence. Otherwise, there's no shelter, even in pious activities in the material world. I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
You were saying about the dangers of attending Vaishnavas. This same hypothetical situation where you're in some management position, something like that, and you see that a devotee is not acting properly, not displaying proper qualities, not performing correctly, and then as the authority or whatever manager, you have to sit that person down, and you know that what you have to tell them is going to upset them, and they're probably not going to like you. You're not going to get that blessing. At the same time, you have to do it. You feel you have to do it. What's the situation there in terms of how to do that properly so Krishna is pleased?
Yeah, you know, when that mentality is there, that you know, it's not like you're taking great pleasure in. You know, sometimes you see that. I've actually seen devotees who they almost seek out positions of authority just so that they can have a dig at other people. And so, you know, they have. You know, if that's there, they will have to accept reaction, even though they're an authority, if they're taking some. You know. But, you know, if we have the mood that, you know, we're just, you know, very careful, and the last thing we want to do, you know, is to offend a Vaishnava, whether they be, you know, a younger devotee or an older devotee. But, you know, that is our, you know, that's our duty, then, you know, we perform that, and for that, there's no, if we're very careful and we, you know, look after devotees in a non-envious way, and sometimes people, you know, may become, you know, we rub them the wrong way unintentionally, that's okay, you know, Krishna will, you know, not penalize you for that. Yeah. So, but, yeah, definitely we have a position, we should be careful that we're, sometimes, because we're in the material world, we don't realize sometimes how much envy is within our heart, and it's amazing, you know, circumstances that can just allow that envy almost to, you know, we give it a leash of life again. You know, sometimes we see Vaishnavas in difficulty, and or, you know, whatever, and. You know, there's that. It can just come out of the heart. There's a lot of rubbish in our heart, so we have to be very careful of that. But you know, if we're in that position and we're very, very careful, maintaining the, you know, the mood that we're the servant, or that will always save you. You know, if you maintain the mood that I am the servant of these other devotees, as soon as we generally, you know, we have the mentality that I am the master, you know, they are my servant. Then what will happen, of course, if I'm the master, they're the servant, and somehow we're not getting the service that we feel that we should enjoy, we may become envious, you know, or angry or whatever like that, and so it can come out. But as long as we're in, you know, the servant, I am the servant of all the servants, then we're pretty much protected from that. You know, and as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, we don't know, you know, who the devotees are that we're dealing with. Like sometimes we may have been around for a long time, and then other devotees may have just come to the temple. But, you know, in the course of our lifetime, we may advance to such and such a level, and yet in the course of their lifetime, they may, you know, go leaps and bounds beyond us. So even though they're in a neophyte position now, within so many years, they may be, you know, ready to go back to Godhead, and we may have so many lives. So, you know, we see in the case of Srila Prabhupada that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had many, many sannyasis in his society. Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha, so in one sense, you know, he was overlooked. He also didn't go to the temple very often, hardly at all. No one ever really saw him, you know, not very often. He was a family man, and he was absorbed in business. By all rights, from an external point of view, he was really the sort of devotee that might occasionally come to the temple, very rarely, but you don't think much of, and you might just brush aside and, you know, put yourself, you know, like, you know, I'm sort of, you know, pretty important around here, you know, who are you, you're a newcomer, don't see you very much. Very easy to do. So, and that happened with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's life is a very, very good example of that point, just how careful we have to be to anyone who shows devotional qualifications. Yeah. So definitely we have to be careful. In other words, we don't have carte blanche, rights that because we're in a superior position, apparently superior position now, that we definitely have the right to just, whether you like it or not, Prabhu, I'm doing this for your own good. And if we're a bit rough about it, we may be very rough with a pure devotee in his unripe state, but Krishna, that devotee may be very, very dear to Krishna already, even though they've hardly done anything. And I've actually seen very elevated devotees, devotees in our movement with big positions, and very elevated Vaishnavas, and I've seen rough handling bhaktas, as if they're not very important. And I've thought that there is a great offence in that, and those devotees have fallen down, in a serious way, because it's a serious offence. So yeah, we should definitely be very careful.
Prabhu, can I just share something from my personal experience in that? Just like you say, what I found is that in having to correct someone for something because we have mixed motives, like you say, even though we've got a position and we're supposed to do it, if there's some motivation, like you said, taking a dig at someone, even mixed in a little bit there, then the reaction comes from that.
Yeah.
And what I found is that whatever you were chastising them for, you end up getting that yourself.
Yeah. Krishna's expert at because Krishna loves us, he's like a loving father, and certainly amongst children, you see them sometimes, the big brother, can be a little pushy with the little brothers, so the parents, they love all the children, but they have their ways of sorting it out so that you don't do it again. So Krishna's like that, certainly. But these things they're transcendental. They're all still on the transcendental platform. It's not karma. Just like whatever someone does in the material world, they're getting karma. They're getting a material reaction. And Srila Prabhupada says that what we do as devotees, there is a reaction, but it's a transcendental reaction.
Because you said that once you come on the boat, you're officially liberated.
Yes.
But then at the same time, you also explain that sometimes we have envy in our heart and we take digs at people and then we actually come from. So if we're officially liberated, why are we still envy?
So the Prabhupada gives the example that officially liberated means this. If, for instance, say we're studying to be a doctor, so basically, as soon as you enter the course and you start going to the university, you're a doctor. If people, their friends introduce you, oh, here's my friend, he's a doctor. Oh, well, he's going through university. But he's good, everyone thinks, oh, he's a doctor. Huh? He's as good as, because he's going to do the course, he's going to finish the course and he's going to be a doctor. So, within time, he's as good as now, just a little time separating. That's the same with a devotee. They're going back to Godhead. They're going to become fully liberated from all the lust, greed, and like that. So officially, they're on the path. If they just stay on it, it's guaranteed. Krishna's guaranteed. My devotee, he says to Arjun, you declare it boldly, that my devotee would never perish. So I'll never, if you're on this path, then you can guarantee success. I will not let you, be a victim of, these material qualities. So Krishna is giving his guarantee. And just to make sure, he's saying Arjun, because people don't, they know that Krishna's tricky. He sometimes breaks his promises. He says, Arjun, you say it. You're a Vaishnava, great devotee, you say it. And, it is like that, you're as good as going back to Godhead, as long as you just stick to the path. And as we know, some people they take to a course are going to be a doctor. Now they may defer for a couple of years and then they may, you know, forget all about it and think, oh, why did I want to become a doctor? And then after a year they get back on, they finish the course and become a doctor. So you can do that as well. You know, sometimes devotees, they take to devotional service and then, you know, they may think, oh, you know, what am I doing? They might, you know, jump off and, you know, go back to forget about it. But see, Krishna, he arranges pretty much as when you become a devotee, you really, Krishna's not going to let you go. That's it, you know. It's like what you did with Bali Maharaj, you know. I just want 3 steps. So, you know, Krishna's like that with us. He's just taken, you know, just have a little bit of prasadam, what the hell, you know. It's like, once you become a devotee, Krishna's got you, you know. He's not going to let you go. Especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the spiritual master. So, you know, you're pretty much guaranteed, and even if some, you know, there's some diversions, you know, Krishna's going to drag you back by your seeking, you know. Back here. So, you know, officially you're liberated, and it's just a matter of time before you go back to God. Yeah, Jai. All glory to the Prabhupada.
Jai.